40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We are continuing our current series called Radically on Mission. Radically on Mission. And today we come to the message called Wherever. And are you open to that when the Lord calls you? Lord, I will go wherever you have called me to go. You see, that's really at the crux of the matter. Amen. And if you need a Bible, just raise your hands and one of our folks here, one of our men will give you a Bible. But, Lord, I will go, I will witness, I will worship wherever you have called me. So let me ask you this morning. I would like to ask for your prayers in this coming week, if you don't mind, if I could have everybody's attention up here right now. We know that we need our own place. Amen?
Amen.
We need our own place. We need it on the first floor. Best scenario would be on the first floor with some kind of covered area where we could get out of our cars when the Florida weather hits, and all the ladies said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I see you guys shooting across the parking lot in heels and getting wet. And then Miss Latima walked in and all wet from the rain and stood in front of a fence and said, "It's cold in here." And so let me just ask you this. This week I have a couple of meetings with some folks about a new location to worship at. So here's, I want you to be in prayer about that. Eh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to ask you yourself this. Am I willing to travel as far to worship as I do to work?
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't mean that if you work, that if you live in Parkland and work in Hialeah, because we're not going to Hialeah. All right, but are you willing to worship and drive as far as where you work? And all God's people said.
Amen.
All right, I have my mandate. So looking at the Word of God, if you're there in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, please say amen.
Amen.
The slides will have the text there, but I really prefer that you follow along in your Bibles. Reading from the Word of God. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. Really? This is one of those moments in Scripture you go, "Really? That's desert, Lord?" So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake the chariot." So Philip ran to him. Apparently the chariot was not just easing along. Ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he, the Ethiopian, said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the Ethiopian answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture. In other words, the man had a question, folks. Look up here, church. The man had a question. The Ethiopian had a question about the scripture in Isaiah. And what does it say here? That Philip answered him beginning at that scripture. Sometimes us Christians, amen, hallelujah, glory be to God, we get all excited when somebody asks us something about the Bible and we go everywhere. Instead of answering their question. And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. That's right, Jesus in the Old Testament. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Well, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, I love this, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Sometimes when I finish preaching, I wish the Lord would catch me away to my favorite restaurant. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord add his blessing upon his word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. Now be with the teacher, that he would preach only your words and your words alone. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I love that we are members of the Southern Baptist Convention, the greatest missionary force in the world. Now, that's not the only reason that this church is affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. We are affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention simply because what they talk about lines up with the Word of God. I never came into this thing as a pastor or a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ saying, I believe I'll be a Baptist, let me see what they believe. No, what happened was I felt called of God. I read my Bible many times. I did some street preaching. I preached at old folks' homes. I preached in children's ministry. And one day I realized, okay, let me look at that statement of faith that the Southern Baptist Convention has, and let me see what's going on here. Okay, looks like I'm affiliated myself with the Baptist denomination on this earth, but heavenly speaking, I'm affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I say that because, you know, we give out the Baptist faith and message to everyone when they come, if they're a greeter, if they're, you know, new folks coming here. But, you know, they're the old style. You know, it's little pamphlets and size two font. And I've noticed, not me, but some of you guys wearing your glasses now, need a little bit of a larger print. So we'll make these available if you want to pick one up on the way out today. It's a Baptist faith and message. If you wonder what we stand for here at Living Hope Baptist Church, you'll find it in there. We are a biblically conservative church. Hallelujah. Amen. We believe if thus saith the Lord is thus saith the Lord. And because we are biblically conservative, and don't get mixed up with the order of things here, because we are a biblically conservative church, we are a socially conservative church as well. Amen? And so, I'm sorry guys, that's what we believe. Well, I'm not sorry, but that's what we believe. And besides that, it was the only way that I could capture Miss Ruth Ann and marry her. But I want you to get this. To say missionary and to say Christian is to say the same thing. Hello, is anybody in here? All right, I just want to make sure you guys got that. To say missionary and to say Christian is to say the same thing. We are all called to be missionaries. Missionary is somebody who's been saved from sin and who is sent to share the gospel. If you agree with that, say amen. All right, I got you right there. Some of us are sent across the ocean. Amen? Some of us are sent next door. Some of us are sent to the next continent. Some of us are sent to be witnesses for Christ in our job, in our workplace, and to touch people's lives for Christ. The issue is, we are all sent of God. We are to be His witnesses, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we live in desperate times. Desperate times. In 2017, Americans spent $100 billion on illegal drugs. $100 billion. 1.5 million babies were aborted. No, I'm not going to ever get off of that. It's against the Word of God. There are days, these days, that should break our heart. And the problem is that the days are desperate, but at times God's saints are not. We get comfortable in our churches. You know, I thank the Lord for my church family. I thank the Lord for Living Hope Baptist Church. I never dreamed this big, guys. Amen? I never dreamed this big. But for all of us, I think we can all agree that just showing up in church is not enough. It's a good thing. Coming to church is good. But we are all called of God to do great and mighty things. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe you are called of God to great and mighty things? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so, what I want you to understand is I hope that you grab that idea. by the time that we finish today's message, that as we watch Philip, another man full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, and let's not forget, he was a deacon. He was not a preacher. He was not an ordained minister in any sense of the word. But as we watch Philip, called of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, be obedient to what God has called him to do. I have 3 points for us today. First point, if you have your notes in front of you, say amen.
Amen.
The first point is that you must perceive the call of God. You must perceive the call of God. Yes, each one of my points will have a P and a C starting with it. No, I am not politically correct. I'm about as politically incorrect as you could possibly be and have hair that looks like this. Amen? In verse 26, look again at Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. If you have that in your Bible, say amen. 26 to 28. Let's read this again. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. How many of you guys like to be in charge of the treasury? Don't go spiritual on me right now. And had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. In verse 26, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Philip, which has never happened to me, by the way, as far as I know. The only angel that ever talks to me is sitting right over here on the second row, on that right on the aisle, which has never happened to me that I know of. You know, but angels do come at times. Do you agree with that? Amen. Because that's biblical. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2, write that in your margin. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2 does say that it's possible that we have each met an angel, we just weren't aware of it. They're walking around, observing, doing the will of God. I've never had an angel appear to me. However, God has spoken to my heart. God has spoken to my heart at times when it was needed, and He will speak to your heart as well. Amen. He will speak to your heart. How else do you explain people that serve in the children's ministry for a decade or more? People that serve in the audio ministry with 40-year-old equipment. How do you explain those types of things? That people will come to church in a driving rain, struggle to find a parking place, going up an elevator that, hallelujah, today is working. That was not true night before last. That was not true when we unloaded the car yesterday morning for the ladies' tea. Miss Ruth Ann thought I was going to stroke out right on the spot. But anyway, I want you to understand that God has spoken to my heart at times when needed, and He'll speak to you as well. Because God has a plan for you, and God will use you if you allow yourself to be usable. You must allow yourself to be usable. What do I mean? Well, God is not looking to use vessels, that's you. God is not looking to use vessels that are available only from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. each Sunday morning. That is not who God is looking to use in great and mighty ways. God is looking for vessels that are surrendered to His will, willing to do the call of God anytime, any place, because God never leaves a surrendered vessel unfilled.
Amen.
And God never leaves a filled vessel unused. If you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill your heart, God will use you. If you simply say, Lord, what would you have me do? We're going to talk about that next week. God will use you. Amen? You know, this is a wonderful thing. Surrender to His will, surrender to His plan, and He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. But some of us are busy filling up this vessel with ourselves, our schedule, the things that we want to do. And God, so I'm going to say that again. Even God cannot fill that which is already full. He can't do it. If we're full of ourselves, it's hard to be filled with the Spirit of God. Have you noticed these days how many people seem just full of themselves? Just full of themselves. It's the society we live in. You know, it's simply amazing. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to empty us out. I do that every single week. I write my message. And this message, by the way, is on half sheets of paper, 18 font. And yet that's, so I can see it, Ms. Latiman, that's right. And so it's 18 font, double space, and it is actually 11 pages, all right, five half pages, front and back. But each week, I put together my message, and it winds up to be 28 pages, 12 font, single spaced, front and back, every week. And I let it sit. And then I go read it. And I say, you know what? That sounds like Larry. That sounds like graham cracker wisdom. That sounds like nonsense. That sounds like I'm trying to be funny. That doesn't sound like the Lord. And I start stripping it out. And every single week, the Lord allows me to strip out just enough to make this thing about 43 minutes for you guys. Because I know you got chickens in the oven. You got a roast in the pot. Or your favorite restaurant is waiting. Amen? But do you understand what I'm saying? Be willing to listen to the call of God. Empty yourself out. Empty out our pride. Empty out our ambition. And say, Lord, fill me with you. And use me. And just like Philip, an ordinary person, God has a plan for you to do extraordinary things. God will use you. Now, the ways of God are often unknown. Amen? What does the Scripture say? My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. The Scripture says, who has known the mind of God? The answer is nobody. Nobody has known the mind of God. Philip had no idea that he was about to witness to one of the most influential men in all of North Africa. One of the most influential and wealthiest men in the world. All that he knew was that God had spoken to him through his angel. God's angel said, Philip, go to Gaza. And brand spanking new deacon Philip said, yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord. Philip never asked why. Philip never said, now? God's ways are unknown and unexplained. God did not give Philip the reason for going. And here's why. Perfect obedience to God's will does not need the why. You don't need the why. When the Holy Spirit works on a heart, that heart gets softened to the gospel message. Then the Lord sends a Spirit-filled Christian. Philip was way up in Samaria. The eunuch was way down in Gaza. And God brings the two together. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verses 27 to 33 to 30 again. If you're there, say amen. Verse 27. I'm sorry, not 27 to 30. Which ones did we? 29 and 30. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? When Philip saw this man, he ran to him. He didn't just obey the Lord. He ran to obey the Lord. Philip doesn't wait. Philip doesn't argue with the Lord. Philip doesn't let the opportunity pass him by. Now think about that scene. Think about the illustration here. I want you to picture this. The Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot trotting by. Philip on foot, obeying the Lord. And Philip runs to catch him because a moment more and it would have been too late. He would have never caught that chariot. What else? What else about this illustration do you find interesting? Are you really looking at what the Word of God says? Do you see the two cultures here? Do you see the two types of people? Philip never says, now wait a minute, Lord. He's Ethiopian, an African, and I'm Jewish. He's not like me. We've got a race problem here. Friends, the person of Jesus Christ is not a race issue. It's a sin issue. It has no bearing on what color, race, color, creed a person is whatsoever. Philip doesn't say, how do I witness to an Ethiopian? You may be asking, how do I witness to this other culture, this other type of person that the Lord puts me in front of? Here's a secret. You ready for a secret? This is your nugget for this week. Open your mouth and speak. God will give you the words. God will give you the words to touch their heart. Nor did Philip say, well, wait a minute, he's rich and I'm poor. There's a socioeconomic issue here. He doesn't say that. Nor did he say, well, he's busy reading right now. He may not want to be bothered, and I don't want to be rude and butt in. Yeah, right. Let's not be rude butting in to save somebody's life from hell. Philip simply answered God's call in his life. He didn't let race, riches, reading, or anything stop him from sharing what? The gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now guys, let's not forget that the Ethiopian had just been to Jerusalem, one of the most religious cities at that time in the world, if not the most religious city. But religion had not done anything for him. Amen? You know why it's so hard to get some folks into church? They've done it before. They've gone and it's been boring. Hallelujah. We got an amen from a pastor back there. They've been to church and it was boring. You get some guy, some old guy up there with silver hair, not quite as distinguished as me, preaching, and he's dull. He just reads the words and gives some kind of seminary lesson. Man, the Word of God should never be boring. Amen? It's an exciting thing. It's a wonderful thing. Dr. Minshew from Gulfstream Baptist Association was here this morning. He had gone to the first service, and, he had a moment to speak with me afterwards. He wanted to take a couple moments, and I called Pastor Ivan over and shared some of the things that our student ministry is accomplishing at the Starbucks Ministry, Bioluminescence, what's some of the other things you mentioned, Pastor Ivan? There we go. And while he was mentioning that, he recruited me for that as well. So, God bless you, Pastor Ivan. And right there in front of the director of Gulfstream, he recruited me. Hey, but that's what you got to do. Be bold for Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I love that. And so listen, guys, religion had not done anything for the Ethiopian eunuch, and it's not going to do anything for you, and it's not going to do anything for the people you invite to church either. We're not here about religion. We're about relationship with Jesus Christ. And this Ethiopian is reading Isaiah because his soul is thirsty. He's gone to church. He's gone to a religious city, and he's been left empty. God help us if people ever come seeking Christ and we leave them, send them home feeling empty. God help us. But Philip is sensitive to the opportunity and he runs to the chariot. Hallelujah. So not only must you perceive the call of God, point number two, you must preach the Christ of God. Preach the Christ of God. Go with me for just a moment here. There are many people today running around that call themselves missionaries. All right? They're overseas, they're building buildings, they're digging wells, they're planting crops, they're educating people and all that. Now listen to me. Those are good things. Those are good things. We need to provide for the physical. When somebody's starving to death, don't just pray for them. Give them a sandwich. Amen. Hallelujah. We must provide for the physical as long as the goal is to provide for the spiritual. Otherwise, it's just socialism with some feel-good religion sprinkled in. That's all that it is. Now, let's look at Philip and what a real missionary does. Look at verse 30 once again. And then verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" In other words, everything starts with the Word of God. When you go share the gospel of Jesus Christ, it starts with the Word of God. Even if you don't open your Bible, as long as you know the scriptures of the gospel message from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, if you know that concept, speak the Word of God. Hallelujah? Amen. You don't sound that excited this morning. Hallelujah? Amen. There we go. Now we're cooking, guys. It is our job to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." People are excited to hear from God. They're not always that excited to hear from us. Amen? It's not our job to be successful. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether they receive it or not is up to the Holy Spirit of God in them. We are called to do what? Share. And if you share the gospel, you have been successful. Amen? Our job is to be faithful to God's Word and to make it clear so that people understand. It's that simple. Well, how simple is it? There's a holy God. He has standards, and His standard is perfection. And if you want eternal life in heaven with Him, you must attain that standard of perfection. or you go to a place called hell. Well, I'm not perfect. How do I do that? You must receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Guys, it's that simple. It's just that simple. Our job is to be faithful and to share salvation, which is why God did not send an angel to the Ethiopian. What did God say in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? He said, you will be my witness in what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the ends of the world. He did not choose to send the angel. He sent the angel to Philip and said, go share the gospel. Do you know why angels are never sent to share the gospel? Do you know why angels are never sent to share the salvation message? It's because there's no angel that has ever been saved. Think about that now. That's your nugget for today. No angel has ever been saved. And no angel can ever be saved. They've been in heaven and they've made their decision. Fallen angels are fallen and are gone for good. The angels from God's heaven are angels that do His will. Now watch Philip now. Look at verses 30 to 35. If you're there, say amen. Picking up in verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. This is from Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. By the way, it's from Isaiah 53. That's your homework this week. Go home and read Isaiah 53. And if you come away from that without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord, I don't know how you do that. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the evening. Jesus when I rise up. Jesus when I lay down. Jesus when I eat my meal. Jesus when I'm hungry. Jesus when times are great. Jesus when times are difficult. Jesus when I'm in fellowship with the world. Jesus when I am not and I feel alone. But whatever it is, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shared the gospel. Amen. He didn't preach to him about race. He didn't preach to him about economics. He didn't preach to him about the social and political situation in Ethiopia. No, he preached to him Jesus, beginning at that verse. And he preached three things central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may want to just jot this in your notes and a little extra space on there if you find some. First, Philip showed him he's a sinner. Talk about politically incorrect. The Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, and so Philip helps him understand. On the screen, we will see Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. If we could have that passage up there, please. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us goes our own way. What is our own way? Our own way is sin. And the Lord laid on him who? The Lord Jesus Christ, our sin. He preached that he is a sinner. Never forget that, because it's because of us that Christ, that the Lord laid the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. Philip taught that first because, why did he teach that first? Philip taught that first because nobody, go with me here. Nobody has ever been saved who has not, first of all, admitted that they are a sinner. Lord, if you're looking for sinners, start here. Start right here. And sitting here in our sanctuary or watching online, right now there are two types of people. Those that are saved and those that are not. And hallelujah, I rejoice because I'm saved. If you're saved, say hallelujah. There we go. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I am redeemed of God, I am an inheritor of heaven, and I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
My sins have been washed, and I'm clean as the driven snow. But watch this now. There are two types of unsaved people. There are two types of unsaved people. First, there are those who think, those that believe that they're too good to be saved. Pastor, salvation is for the thief, the prostitute, the murderer, the dope addict. I'm not like that. I'm a good person. I try to do the right thing. Second, are those people who that they are too bad to get saved. In other words, Pastor, I am a prostitute, a murderer, a dope addict. Therefore, I am not good enough to be saved by God. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let whosoever will come and partake of the river of life." Hallelujah. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever right here. Friends, listen to me. There is nobody so good that they need not be saved, and there is nobody so bad that they cannot be saved. I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. I'm going to say that one more time. There is nobody sitting here or anywhere in the world that need not be saved. And there is nobody sitting around that is so bad that they cannot be saved. Amen? The real issue is not whether we are or whether we are not sinners. The real issue is whether or not we acknowledge that before God and we ask His forgiveness for our sins. That's the issue. And Philip made it known to the Ethiopian that he, the Ethiopian, was a sinner. But it isn't just the bad news. You know, sometimes us Christians are a little heavy-handed. Amen? Matter of fact, if you're watching this on the internet, you may say, Pastor, you just did that. You were just a little heavy-handed there. He also let the Ethiopian know that it was Christ that died for his sins. What a great blessing. Well, how do I know that? Well, once again, look in verse 32. Do you see that? Look at verse 32. If you're there, say amen. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Skip down now to verse 35 again. Then Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Amen. Philip taught that we're sinners. He taught that Christ died for our sins. Now watch as Philip teaches that salvation is by grace through faith. How many of you believe that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verses, where are we at now? 36 and 37. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? That is a great question. What is keeping me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb, guys. That's what we need to hear right there. Listen to me, friends. Simplicity itself here. Philip taught him that he was a sinner. Philip taught him that Christ died for his sins. Philip taught him that he was saved by grace through faith. Right here in verse 37, we see Isaiah 53:6. We see Romans 5 verse 1. We see Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. All brought together by Philip implementing Acts 1:8 of Romans 1:6. Did you get all that? No, you didn't get all that. So why don't we try this? Why don't we put this on the screen? If we bring the screen up right now. We should have passages up there. There we go. Isaiah 6 is all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us are sinners. Every one of us in Christ died for our sins. Next screen, please. Keep going. That was it? Okay. Well, apparently I didn't put that on the screen. We're going to use our Bibles for just a moment. Flipping your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. This will only take us a moment, folks. Romans, we're in Acts. Skip over one more book, book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. If you have a paper Bible and you're there, say amen. Amen. Therefore, having been justified by what? We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Flip over now to Ephesians. Keep going back in your Bible, a couple more books. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For you were once... Well, that's the wrong passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the what? Gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen, guys, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that Jesus said we would be His witnesses. Why are we to be His witnesses? How are we to go about that? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I am not ashamed of the gospel. See, what is grace? I just had it up on the screen a moment ago. Marianne, if you could bring that back up again. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And how do we grab that gift? By faith. Where do we get that faith? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 says, we get it from God. Friends, I am going to heaven by the grace of God. Give Him praise in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. One last thing, and I really don't have time to develop this too much, but I'll try quickly. We must practice the commands of God. We must practice the commands of God. Let me put it this way. The obedient, faithful witness for Jesus Christ must practice the commands of God. What does that mean? It means listen to what God has said in His Word. He must practice the commands of God. Look at verse 38 again. If you're there, say amen. Back in the book of Acts. Okay, the pastor's there now. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him there. Philip is only doing what we're all told to do by Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. If Marianne could please bring up our next passage of Scripture on the screen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We all know it very well. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I wish I had more time. I really do. But just let me say this. Everybody's eyes up here. Baptism. I don't know how you were baptized. I don't know when you were baptized. But I want you to listen to me for a moment. I'm not here to talk about other denominations. I am not here for that. I'm here to talk about the Word of God. Baptism, by immersion, as Christ was baptized, baptism is your way of showing openly and publicly that you have been saved. It's saying, I stand for Christ and I'm not ashamed of this. You must be saved in order to be baptized. You got it? Amen. Some people get that out of order. You must be saved in order to be baptized. And if you haven't first believed with all of your heart that Jesus Christ was raised to the dead, then you are not ready to be baptized. You are not. The eunuch says, hey, there's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip gets it 100% right. He says, first, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. Philip is saying, you do? You want to get baptized? Great. That's awesome. You can get baptized. And that's, listen to me, friends, you must be saved first in order to get baptized. And that is why we do not do infant baptisms in our church. Why? You must believe first. It's right here in Scripture. Amen? Amen. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Great. Look at it this way. Being baptized before we are saved is like having a funeral before we're dead. I thought I'd lighten up the moment for just a bit. I didn't land that one at all. You know, you guys could have been polite with that. We're not baptized in order to be saved. We are baptized because we are saved.
Amen.
Amen. The Ethiopian says, I believe, dunk me. I've used this illustration many times. How many of you folks like Oreo cookies? Oreo cookies out here. Hello. Mary Ann, your hand just shot all the way up. How many of you guys like milk? How many like milk and Oreo cookies? Now, do you ever take your glass of milk and get your Oreo cookie and sprinkle it? No, what do? Dunk it. You dunk it. Hallelujah. Amen. We're baptized because we're saved. The Ethiopian says, dunk me. Guys, true baptism follows true salvation. And when this man was baptized, was it just a big deal to him? Or was it just another church thing? Well, let's see. Look at verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, came up out of the water. Everybody got that? That means he was under the water. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. Wait a minute. And he, meaning the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. I love it when we baptize somebody and they jump up out of the water, splashing water everywhere, singing hallelujah. I love that. Christians, listen to me. Baptism and joy are linked in the Bible. Because public profession of Christ is the most joyful thing you will ever do.
Amen.
I belong to Jesus. I belong to the Lord Jesus. And the reason that some who claim to be saved don't have any joy is because they haven't been obedient in the matter of baptism. They haven't been obedient in the calling that God has on their life. They've never shared the gospel once with anybody. No matter how rudimentary, no matter how crude that you shared the gospel, every one of us sitting here should have shared the gospel at some point, sometime in our lives. Listen, friends, if you are a quote-unquote real Christian, when you receive the call of God, you're going to preach the Christ of God. You're going to practice the commands of God to share the grace and the gospel of God. And so people understand that they are saved through grace. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's riches at Christ's expense. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thank you for being here today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
Bye.